In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Trinity Sunday, which we observe today, the first Sunday after Pentecost, is the only church festival that is devoted to a concept, or an idea, or a doctrine. The concept of who God is, how God relates to us, how God reveals God's self to us, and how those essences, those various parts of God, interact with each other. So it's a little heady for a warm June day. I will give you that. This would be better maybe if it came like the third Sunday of February, when it's cold and you're just dying for those deep theological thoughts to keep you warm by the fire. But alas, it comes on always the first Sunday after Pentecost. It is a relatively late addition to the church's calendar, because when I say late and 14th century, you have to remember we've been in business for 2,000 years. So 14th century is relatively late, given the other festivals. And it is very popular and made widely popular in England. So it's possible that the emphasis and the celebration of Trinity really comes to us from the English church. But unlike all other major festivals, in keeping with the theme of God being of different persons, different aspects, and yet one, it only is celebrated for one day, today. It doesn't get a weekly celebration, and it doesn't get a seasonal celebration. It's just today. So as you often hear, God is Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one who is and was and is to come. There are many different ways of describing this Trinitarian God that is part of our Christian faith. But let me start with two examples. First, I'll give you the definition, and forgive me if I've used this before, but it's so priceless I can't resist going over it again. On Trinity Sunday, there's a wonderful book called The Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church. And you, as you can imagine, if it's a dictionary and it's Oxford, it's like this thing. This is the first paragraph under Trinity Doctrine of the. That's how it goes. Trinity Doctrine of the. The central dogma of Christian theology, that the one God exists in three persons and one substance. This doctrine is held to be a mystery in the strict sense, in that it can neither be known by unaided human reason apart from revelation, nor cogently demonstrated by reason after it has been revealed. On the other hand, it is maintained that, though the mystery is above reason, it is not contrary to it, for it is not incompatible with the principles of rational thought. So I'm able now to take your questions. On that clear, what did you say?
Do you think rationally?
Well, I'm not so sure after that anybody thinks rationally, but that's a whopper of an introduction. But then maybe sermon aids have been used to help kind of parse this out, and there are many of them. I'm sure you know the Shamrock story of Ireland, you know the three signs of the clover, the three lobes of the clover, and icons and dramatic enactments. I actually heard one of the best sermon aid sermons, and the preacher got up and put a can of 3-in-1 oil on the podium. Did you not? And come to find out, I was thinking, where are we going to go with this? It's not so much that the formula has three parts. It is that when it was first invented in 1894 as bike oil, the best bike oil around, by one George Cole of New Jersey, its advertising was that cleans, lubricates, and protects. And that's where the sermon went. Cleans, lubricates, and protects. I mean, think about God in that sense. God cleans, God lubricates, and God protects. I mean, funny how it, in a way, it mirrored what we talk about today. Tertullian, the lawyer of the early church in the 3rd century, a great thinker, it is to Tertullian that we owe the idea of God as one substance, but three persons. And we'll sing that in the final hymn this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. But again, he wasn't meaning so much persons as in human persons or persons of interest, as we'd say. He was talking about the grammatical constructions of persons. God in the sense of first person as the speaker, as the second person, the receiver, and the third person, the indirect listener, or everybody else. God who speaks directly, God who is heard indirectly, and above all, God, the first person of the Trinity. So in a few moments, we are going to say together the Nicene Creed, and I'd invite you to take your bulletins for a moment to show you a little bit about how the Creed works out the Trinity. The Nicene Creed is a 3rd century statement of the Christian faith, and it is a result of the disputes and arguments about the Trinity. And the Nicene Creed, being an adaptation of the Apostles' Creed, is a little larger, a little more full, and it is in 3 sections. And I purposely printed them out. You know I love to cram as much printing into one piece of paper as possible. But I gave you some white space today because, you know, this is kind of heavy stuff. So you might see the first clause is we believe, and what do we believe in? God, right. The Father Almighty. One sentence, I might point out, one sentence. God, the creator, the great mover, who is before time, who existed before the universe, God for whom language fails, God, we acknowledge, is the maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. The next clause, what do we believe? The Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a little longer because it sets forth his saving life. The major events in his life, his relationship to God, creator, and then some language about his exaltation, God, life for life, from God begotten, etc. Then goes through his incarnation, his passion, his resurrection and death, and is coming to establish the kingdom of God on earth. God the Son, God the one who is sent, God the Redeemer, the second person of the Trinity. And then, finally, in the last paragraph, what do we have? The Holy Spirit. The Lord, the giver of life. And there's been a little bit of a discussion about whether the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, that is, from the Creator, Redeemer. But nonetheless, we wrap this all up with acknowledging that the Holy Spirit has been with us from the beginning because he spoke through prophets, capital P, Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah, you see, the prophets. The Spirit has been with us from the beginning. And then we believe in the church, baptism, resurrection of the dead, and the best clause of all, the life of the world to come. The life beyond our imagining, the life made possible with God. There is something significant about three, isn't there? The Trinity, three. For one thing, it's a prime number. It's the first interesting prime number because it's divisible by itself and one. And Jesus is part of three all through his ministry, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Jesus with the 2 criminals on the cross, Jesus with the angels, Jesus and the 3 wise men. The number 3 all the way through is so significant for us. Because it's important. It's a number that's significant in architecture and in music and in literature, painting, in our thoughts. It works out kind of well. What if God had 5 aspects, or 7, or 9, or 11, you see? Our minds would just not comprehend it. But 3 works well in and of itself. So God presents God's self this morning in the shape of the Trinity, leading us and inspiring us, speaking to us in different ways, at different times, with different voices, so that we can always understand who God is and what God is. There is a wonderful medieval stained glass painting, portrait, I should say, of the Trinity. And we don't see it as much anymore. But it shows a juggler juggling three balls. Of course, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, great Redeemer and Sustainer. And the juggler is walking on a tightrope. But when you look more closely, the tightrope is the bowl of a chalice at Holy Communion. The bowl of the chalice, the body and blood of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The juggler is dancing the dance of life, supported by faith in the one true God who revealed God's self on earth in the person of Jesus. So I'll conclude with Malcolm Guyot, great priest and theologian and poet who wrote this about the Trinity. In the beginning, not in time or space, but in the quick before space and time, in life, in love, in coherent grace, in three in one and one in three, in rhyme, in music, in the whole creation story, in his own image, his imagination, the triune poet makes us for his glory and makes us each the other's inspiration. He calls us out of darkness, chaos and chance, to improvise a music of our own, to sing the chord that calls us to the dance. Three notes resounding from a single tongue, to sing the end in whom we all begin, our God beyond, beside us, and within. So on this day may we celebrate that God is beside us, beyond us, and still within. That the many ways that God calls us to be may fill our hearts with hope and inspiration, and that we know and love serve God all the days of our life. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.